I'm Griffin Murray, and welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning Podcast. So it's Friday. That means it's time for the week in review and preview. Today we'll be covering the volatile movement we've seen in equities, performance and outlook for U.S. fixed income, and much more. So I'm pleased to welcome back Frank Saleo, Senior Fixed Income Strategist with the UBS Chief Investment Office, for the conversation today. So Frank, thanks for joining us on Top of the Morning once again.
Thank you. Great to be here. And happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday to you too, Frank. And just to kick things off here, it was a volatile week for U.S. equity markets. And I'm just curious to hear your thoughts here. What were the events that stood out to you?
Yeah, absolutely, Griff. It was a very eventful week for a number of reasons. We came into the week with investors in more of a risk-off mood, definitely a little more risk-averse just at the very beginning of the week, Monday morning. That was a notable shift from most of October, when investors were very optimistic and enthusiastic, taking on more of a risk-on mood for most of October prior to this week. That enthusiasm was driven by hopes for an additional fiscal stimulus package out of Washington. And throughout October, markets rallied on stimulus news and updates about the negotiations going on in Congress between Republicans and Democrats and between Congress and the White House. But negotiations stalled at the start of the week, so that driver of positive sentiment was suddenly and dramatically reduced at the early part of this week. Meanwhile, we've had these other drivers of negative sentiment growing, beginning with news from German software maker SAP, which cut its 2021 sales forecast to start the week. That led some to question the defensive attributes of the tech sector, which had been so important, a major driver of U.S. equities in recent months, as we know. Midweek, we did get some stronger results from, let me say, Microsoft and AMD, so somewhat of an offset to the SAP news. But while earnings this week have generally been good, companies are offering very little in the way of forward guidance. We saw that again last night from Apple, and there were a lot of results out of the big tech, mega cap tech sector last night, and mixed results at best. So that's adding to the consternation in the marketplace, and it looks like we'll have another difficult session today. Meanwhile, coronavirus continues to spread in both the U.S. and Europe. If we look at the seven-day average of new virus cases, that rolling seven-day average rose to a record in the United States, according to CDC data. That case count is up by 22% week over week, and again, reaching a new record. Hospitalizations are up too here in the U.S. Meanwhile, in Europe, the rate of infections as well as coronavirus deaths are rising, leading to more restrictions in a number of countries: Italy, France, Germany, Spain, and several other countries announcing more restrictions. So all of this threatens further economic growth. Now, we did get a first look at the third quarter GDP numbers yesterday, and it does show a good deal of recovery from the second quarter lockdown-driven recession that we experienced. So the economy has staged a very quick, rapid rebound, and the latest labor market data remains encouraging as well. But we still have more to go. The U.S. economy still has more to go before getting back to pre-crisis conditions, and it's leading investors to question whether or not the economy is stalling here. It's moving in the right direction, but needs more stimulus, more fuel to sustain that momentum and overcome the dampening effects of the pandemic, which seem to be growing. Meanwhile, as I mentioned, fiscal stimulus talks are at a standstill. So as a result, the S&P 500 fell by 3.5% on Wednesday. That's the biggest one-day drop since early June. We did get a 1.2% bounce yesterday in the S&P, but looks like we're going to have another difficult day today, and we are headed for a weekly decline of at least 4.5%, Griff. So definitely an eventful week, to be sure.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the recap of the macro environment as well. I think another event that took place this week worth highlighting today is the publication of the yield and income report. And for those listeners that may not be familiar with it, what can you tell us about this edition?
Sure. Yeah. Well, in general, we publish a yield and income every month. It's a monthly report. It's also a multi-authored, multi-asset class report. And it covers about a dozen sectors with one-page summaries on each sector. So that includes U.S. equities, high yield and investment-grade corporate bonds, U.S. government and municipal bonds, as well as REITs, MLPs, preferred, and some other sectors. And we also include a one-page summary on a different highlighted closed-end fund each month. So it's our latest thinking on everything, and it's an easy read. You could focus on the sectors that you're most interested in, and it tends to the publication of yield and income follows the House View Investment Strategy Guide by a few days. So it's a nice companion piece. And the key there, the link, is that all of the sectors highlighted in yield and income align with the same sectors included in House View yield-focused portfolios. And you'll find those portfolios published in the back of yield and income on page 18. Now, the latest edition of yield and income is entitled Spooked, because we are outlining in the latest report the concerns that have been haunting the markets over the past week. Of course, this is Halloween season, Griffin, right? This is our Halloween edition of Top of the Morning. Right. And so the latest edition of Yield and Income is entitled Spooked. And one of the events that also took place this week is that the VIX Volatility Index rose to a four-month high. That VIX Volatility Index, also called the Fear Index. So, Griffin, a lot of fear as we close out the month, a lot of fear in the market as we close out the month and head into Halloween.
Well, you're right, Frank. And I'm curious, you know, you mentioned some of the, preferences you guys have within different sectors within fixed income. What's been the performance like for these yield and income sectors across the fixed income landscape in October?
Yeah, well, prior to this week, things were chugging along okay. Most sectors were posting pretty decent gains. And despite the more choppy markets this week, those gains have been able to sustain what looks to be a monthly positive return overall. So most sectors are on track to post modest gains in the month of October. And if I look at specifics, the biggest gainer is MLPs, up by about 5.5% this month after several months of losses. And within the yield and income report, I should point out that our analyst, our MLP sector specialist, Jay Dobson, he outlines a number of factors that support the sector. I would also highlight that emerging market stocks did pretty well in October, up by about 4%. Emerging market bonds up by 1.5%. But on the other side of the ledger, Grip, international developed market stocks down by about 3%. That's most likely attributable to those additional lockdowns that we're seeing throughout most of Europe. So those are just some of the highlights of performance this month.
Looking ahead here, Frank, can you give us an outlook for the markets and what to expect in the coming weeks?
Sure. Well, corporate earnings will remain a focus. Third quarter earnings season continues. That will be a focus today, again, with a lot of the mega cap technology companies reporting last night. That will be a focus today. And next week, we'll get more earnings results from corporate, from a lot of blue chip companies. But clearly, the most important event next week will be Election Day, not just the presidential election, of course, but also the composition of Congress is on the line. So that will be a big focus Tuesday night and probably likely in the days that follow. So overall, we do expect more volatility in the near term, but we look for a rebound in the months ahead. And Griffin, there are three factors that would be driving that medium-term rebound. So let me go through each of these three factors. First, regardless of the election outcome, we do expect Congress to pass an additional sizable fiscal stimulus package that could occur in the first quarter of next year, the first quarter of 2021 at the latest, and possibly before. So we do expect that fiscal stimulus package to be announced, to be passed, and that will provide some support to risk assets. Secondly, we expect monetary policy to remain supportive, especially given what the Federal Reserve has told us over the past several weeks and months. They have a commitment to providing liquidity and to maintaining low interest rates for the next several years at least. And I'd point out this week in Europe, the European Central Bank, the ECB, set the stage for more monetary policy easing there out of Europe. That is set to come in December. So that's something to look forward to as well. And finally, the third point I'd point out, the third support that should lead to a medium-term rebound in the months ahead would be news about more progress on the development of coronavirus therapeutics and vaccines. Here at CIO, we do expect a vaccine to become widely available in the second quarter of next year. And I'd note that there are currently 10 vaccine candidates in late-stage clinical trials, so we expect one, if not more, than one to be approved and widely available throughout the country in by the second quarter or in the second quarter by mid-year 2021. So in summary, Griffin, these are the factors that should drive markets higher in the medium term and in the months ahead.
Well, it certainly sounds like an eventful next few weeks that we have in front of us. But Frank, appreciate the recap of this week's market activity, as well as the spotlight on the latest yield and income publication. And we look forward to having you back on sometime soon.
Thank you. I look forward to it. Have a great weekend, everyone, and a happy Halloween.
You too, Frank. And again, I've been joined by Frank Saleo, Senior Fixed Income Strategist with the UBS Chief Investment Office. And in addition to the latest yield and income report we referred to over the course of today's conversation, there are many blogs and publications available from CIO Now on UBS Online Services. UBS clients can reach out to their financial advisor to receive a copy directly. Once again, I'm Griffin Marie. Top of the Morning, we'll be back next week. And thanks for tuning in.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.